Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert.
Hello, this is David.
Hey, this is Andy.
And we are here inviting you to come and reason together with us through the Bible. We call the name of our show, Come, Let Us Reason Together. So the Bible is something we don't want to fight about. We want to be able to reason together through the Scriptures. So get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in Genesis 11, 6 through 9. Before we go there, though, I want to just read one paragraph here I have in the website. If you want to listen to this podcast and also have the pictures in front of you that we have drawn to demonstrate what we're talking about, it's like we'd be teaching in a house and we also make lists on the whiteboard. We draw pictures on the whiteboard. Not saying that they look good, but it helps us show what things are like the temple. We can show the three rooms of the temple and so on. But go to the website, Gilbert and Friends. Towards the bottom of the list in blue on the left is, when did the trail first divide? And that's where we are now. We've gone through 10 other teachings, starting with the mystery of the Bible and the Bible puzzle and putting the pieces together of the puzzle and so on. And we are in number 11, when did the trail first divide? I'm going to read this to you to give you a flavor of where we've been, and we'll take off from there. Jesus told us to ask, seek, and knock in Matthew 7:7, and in Jeremiah 6:16, it tells us what to ask for. It says, ask for the good way. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. This Bible verse says that there is a good way as well as many different ways. So when did this road divide? Up until the time of Genesis 11, 6 through 9, which we're going to read next, there was one nationality, one language, and when did it become necessary to choose a road to walk in? When did the road go from being one road to dividing off and being many different roads that lead to trouble versus the way that's called the good way? So we're going to read this in Genesis 11, 6 through 9.
And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they begin to do. And now nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth.
So Babylon means confusion of languages, but up till that time there was one language. But the language is divided, and that's one of the biggest cause of all the conflicts. Did you know today the language barrier has created, or as a result of this language being divided, there are over 6,000 different tongues or languages in the world today, over 6,000. And there are about as many different religions. So the land used to be, they used to be one nationality. There was one language, one religion, one nation, not nation fighting against nation. Jesus said in the end times, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And look what that's caused. That's caused all these wars and conflicts. There used to be a perfect oneness in marriage. And we're going to look into that a bit too. There used to be oneness in marriage. Finally, man was one with God. But he became separated here because he decides to make his own religion, make his own tower. He's going to build a church building that would lead him up to God. It's called the Tower of Babel. That was some humdinger of a church. That was probably the first mega church. And he was going to find his way up to God in his own way. And that was the beginning of all kinds of problems.
Man has his own ideas, but they're not the same as what God has.
So let's look how man was originally created. Before this mess started, we were kind of backing up, actually up the trail. We want to isolate and find out what this trail is, or this way is. It's called the good way, and we're to ask for the good way. It tells us to ask, seek, and knock. And by the way, a little hint on this, Matthew 7:7, I happen to get a different version of the Bible called the Christian Standard Version. I also looked in the Rotherhams, the Emphasized Bible, and they both say, keep asking and it'll be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find, and keep knocking and a door will be opened unto you. So I saw those two translations that said, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Now, Panins did not say that. So I decided to pull out my Greek interlinear and I looked up those words, and all three are in the present tense. So it means now I should ask, seek, and knock. Tomorrow I should ask, seek, and knock, and so on. So the first time we ask and seek and knock is we find the way. And then as we journey on the way, we keep asking, seeking, and knocking to stay on the way. So it's not something once I did it and I don't need to do it anymore. It appears that we need to, like when I used to survey, we not only found the line, but we had to stay on the line and stay true to the line. So we kept plunging our scopes to make sure we were on that same line that we had set up. So it behooves us to not only ask, seek, and knock, but to keep God in our foresights, that we keep going to him. And we don't get deviated by man's ideas, man's thoughts, and so on. So we want to go back and see in Genesis 1:26-27, let's take a look at man and see how he was created way back before there were any other ways. There was only one way back then. There was only one language. There was only one, well, we haven't gotten to marriage yet. We actually haven't even gotten to the creation of man yet. We're going to back up all the way to find out how man was created.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Okay, so God says, let us make man in our image, according to our form, our shape, our essence. If you look at those two words, image and according to our likeness, is God's form. What makes God up? He made man in his own image. Even to the point where man was told to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the cattle and over all the earth. Because if you go on and look at this story in Genesis 1:2, before the fall occurs in chapter 3, God looked at everything he created and he said it was good, but he uses another term in front of it and he said it was very good. Everything that he created, he said it was all very good, including the man and his wife. The birds were singing, the sun was shining.
It'd be very interesting to experience a world like that.
Man did not know evil yet. There was no choice between the evil path and so on. There was only one choice in all this, confronting man, was a tree in the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's the only thing that man was told to avoid. Other than that, man was walking only in the good way. He only had the good way. He was in the garden of God. As a matter of fact, up till that time, it doesn't appear that there were any church buildings. Man didn't need a church. You know, in the new heaven, new earth, there will not be a tabernacle, which we call a church building, whatever, because God and Jesus will be our tabernacle. It sounds like we're going to go back to the time of Adam and Eve. So where did God and man meet?
In the garden?
In the garden. Have you ever gotten up early in the morning when it's really nice weather? Let's say you live in California or you live in North Carolina or you live in Portland, Oregon. It's a nice sunny day. Let's say it's 70 degrees, 75 degrees outside, and the sun's just coming up and you have a nice little sheltered location outside. Would you rather be in the house or outside in the garden having a cup of coffee in the morning?
Yeah, the garden is nice. You get to hear all the birds singing, and it's very beautiful.
It smells,
too.
And it sounded like it was such a nice climate to live in that they didn't have houses or tents to live in. There's no mention of that. There's no mention of them even needing clothing. They were both naked and yet did not shame each other. Something else was protecting them, and they would meet with their God. I would guess, knowing God and knowing the whole of the Bible, I'm guessing they would meet with God throughout the day. Just like you're married to somebody, you don't just wake up in the morning and have one time with your spouse, who hopefully is your best friend. You like to touch bases. Even if you're working, I used to like to run home. When I was first married, I'd run home and have lunch with my wife. I like to have different times together with my wife.
Part of communication. You're with the one that you love, and you like to share things with them.
Yeah. God wants to check you out, see if there's any food in your teeth. You know, he wanted to make sure you're dressed all right. They weren't dressed back at that time, but you can imagine God and man dwelling together, and man has been created to live in God's garden. And, of course, their only task was to tend the garden. It didn't seem like it was a hard task because the working by the sweat of the brow was part of the curse that came later. So anyway, man was created in God's own image, his form, his shape, just like God. And in John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then around Psalms, I think 103:40 or someplace, I can't remember where, it says, he sent forth his spirit and we were created. And then in Colossians 1:15, it says that God is invisible. So it looks like to make us according to God's image, the invisible part, he sent forth his spirit. And then God made man of the dust of the ground. Do you have that part right there? It's in 2:7. Somebody want to read that?
Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
First, he sent forth his spirit, and we were created. Then God formed man from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils, so he created his flesh. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, living being. And it says it again in another form in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Isn't it interesting? We've been looking at meat scriptures. There's always an explanation in the new and the old for each other. Have you noticed that? That's like way fun.
Oh, yeah. Quite fun.
And 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, now may the God of peace, of oneness, peace, and the word peace also means to talk. Irene comes from the word that means to talk. May the God of peace, may the God that wants to get together with us and have a chit-chat, like God and Moses met together 175 times, they were having a sit down, get together, or stand up, get together, whatever, however God meets with people. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Here is going to talk about the complete man. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless or complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the three parts of man, spirit, soul, and body. And next, we're going to bring in another scripture and combine it with these above scriptures. So anything you and Andy want to talk about, David?
How are you doing, Andy?
Hi, David. No, Gilbert, I think I'm fine for now.
Are you?
Sure.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Also, I might just say this really fast. Did you know for all three parts of us, God uses a special Hebrew word to describe the creation? The Spirit, God sent forth his Spirit, and we were created. That's the Hebrew word bara, to make from nothing. It's such a special word that if you read every place that's found in the Bible, and how would I know that?
Well, you must have looked.
I think I did.
You did.
And so I checked them all out, and it's never used about a man creating anything. Man cannot create that way. He cannot make something out of nothing. Now, sometimes a husband or a spouse might try to create something from nothing, and that would bring about an argument. But this word is so proprietary. Only God does this word, bara. So he creates man from nothing, and he sends a Spirit, and we are created. The next step he does is he takes and he forms man from the dust of the ground. And that word yotzer is found a lot of other times, like a potter making clay. And both men and God do this. Sometimes a potter is making clay. Sometimes God's using that as an analogy. But when God made us, that's the second word used in our creation, in man's creation, was that God first bara man. He created the invisible part, the Spirit. He sends the Spirit. Then he forms man of the dust of the ground and his flesh. And then he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and man becomes a living being. He becomes a soul, a living soul. And that word is gasha. And again, that's used both man and God can create. When man built a tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle, and so on, he made it gasha. He made it from existing wood, gold, fabric, and so on, and built the tabernacle. And God did the same thing. He built our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so each part of us is made specially by God in a special way. But God also recognized it wasn't good for man to be alone and created a helper suitable, and actually that Hebrew word means more comparable to him, somebody his equal. He decided not to take a monkey or something lesser than the man. He wanted to make something comparable to the man that would be his equal, comparable to him. We're going to read this story because this has a lot to do with the story of our lives and how we were created, how this trail divided, and all the different troubles that mankind has gotten himself into. And we talked about marriage before, about bearing fruit, and a woman marrying a husband, and a year later she goes, "This isn't the man I married. Who switched him? Did it happen at the marriage ceremony? Did somebody switch him? Because he's not the guy." So we're going to get into that a little bit further. So Genesis 2, 18 through 25.
"And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed."
Well, that's not a problem until later on when man falls. But at this time, this is no problem at all. The two of them were perfect in God's sight. They hadn't sinned. They were both naked and did not shame one another. And God joined them together. This is the first marriage. They became one flesh. Now, it doesn't say they were joined in spirit. It didn't say they were joined in soul. People talk about having a soulmate. It says they were one what?
Flesh.
One flesh, yeah.
One flesh. And we read in May Your Whole Spirit in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless till the coming of our Lord. Well, of those three parts, God took and joined them. A man still has his own, the spirit from God in him at this time. They each have their own soul or their own life. She likes to shop. He likes to go hunting. Well, not yet. That's not yet. He likes to go picking fruit. So they have different lives or different souls, yet they become one in flesh. That's an interesting thing. We could really go off on that one for a while, but there's a lot of things that we have noticed. So there was no mention of any problems. There's no mention of any fighting, no divorce up until this time. There's not even a disagreement yet. There's no bad words between them up till this time. And then there is the fall. And in Genesis 3, 6 through 8, somebody going to read that, Andy?
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
Now the honeymoon is over. It looks like God, he says, I, the Lord, I change not. So wouldn't you expect God to do this every day? Since I, the Lord, I change not. He's there to have coffee with his friend Adam. I don't think it was Starbucks back then. That hadn't been invented. But he's walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, or the man and his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now the honeymoon is over, and the rose-colored glasses have just come off. And so what is the condition of man after the fall and his wife? How has it affected their marriage? And this is probably the first time this has ever been stated. You're not the one I married. You're not the woman I used to know. You're not the man I used to know. When a person is converted and turns to the Lord, they become a new man. It says that, doesn't it?
Yes.
And when a person falls back into sin, into drunkenness or whatever, it's like, who is that monster? I don't know him at all. And we're going to continue in the same vein in the next time we get together. So it's time to close. And again, with this thought that may God lead you into all truth as we continue on this trail of man.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.